thee. Just one verse in 1 Corinthians, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 and reading verse 10. The Apostle Paul is writing and he's speaking and these are his words under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The grace that changed Paul, and it was a grace that kept him in the work as well. Grace is a tremendous word, a little word that perhaps has confused a lot of people down through the ages for many reasons, because you could use it in so many different ways. It has it occurs about 170 times in the New Testament. It can denote charm. You know, oh, she's so gracious. You've heard that expression. Loveliness, thanksgiving, loving kindness, goodwill, as well as grace said at the table. It's a tremendous word. The unmerited favor of God is what we're concerned about this evening. It's a transforming grace, changed into another person. That is their character, and it affects their whole being, the whole life. And the Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. The love of God going out to a lost world, perhaps, is a very clearer and simpler way of putting it. The undeserved favor of God to lost sinners. And you're looking at a man tonight who can also testify with the Apostle Paul, relate to what he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And all believers can say the same thing today. The Apostle Paul was a preacher of grace. Peter has said of him that he's a preacher of hope. The Apostle John was the Apostle of love. He wrote about love so much, did he not? And the Apostle James was the Apostle of works. And, of course, they believed in the whole four. But this seemed to be typical of the different writers of their books. 1 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. The grace of God that came down to this poor world of ours. And we have a lot to thank God for. You often heard me say, and as you get older in life, one is sort of known for repetition, but keep in mind that some of our stories and illustrations are for people who have never heard. So you tolerate me talking about grace. The Apostle Paul, when he went into Arabia after his conversion for a short period, But he came back shouting, grace, grace, grace. And he preached that wherever he went. As a boy that was shop window, I used to do a lot of that, looking at windows. I couldn't buy anything when I was a fellow, especially near Christmas time. It was one of those things. We could go there and look at the toys, knowing that I'd never have them. So I can understand how he felt as he looked sideways, almost upside down, to just view the toys. And he realized that he couldn't have them. But walking across the street, he was hit with an automobile. And in the hospital, when he regained consciousness, and they were all glad, the nurses were around him, and they tried to make him as comfortable as possible for a couple of bones broken. And naturally, they brought him a nice glass of warm milk. And he looked at the milk, and he looked at the nurses, and he was sort of taken back by this. And they said, don't you like milk? He said, I sure do. He said, but why don't you drink it? He says, how much shall I drink, nurse? You see, what they didn't know, he came up in a family with 7 children. And when they had a glass of milk, they all had to take a little sip, just a little bit of it. And the 7 of them would drink 1 glass of milk. And so to have a whole glass of milk all of a sudden given to him, he says, how much shall I drink? And the nurse says, drink all of it. And that's what I want you to know tonight, my friend. If you're here and you're not a Christian, listen, drink all of the grace of God. Drink in the love of God. Take in because it's sufficient. It's adequate to meet every situation, no matter what it is. You're downcast. You're uncomfortable. You're insecure. You're worried about tomorrow and the destiny. Maybe you're worried about even the problems of the world economically, politically, and you name it. Jesus Christ is the answer. The grace of God is sufficient. It's adequate to meet every need. Our prayer is that before you leave this auditorium, you'll be able to enjoy the grace of God. You'll be able to say, I know now what this grace is, because Christ died for you. He gave himself for you. And you need not perish without a Savior, without Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, because there might be some who have been tempted by trying to earn his grace, earn his salvation, which is literally impossible. He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can you imagine if a man could buy grace, buy salvation, what it would be like in heaven? I'd get sick and tired of hearing him boast about how he got to heaven, what he did, and how much he spent. You know, he would be Mr. So-and-so, and I couldn't afford to buy or do what he did, and you'd have to listen to that all through eternity. But aren't you glad? I am what I am by the grace of God. And you're no man going to boast when you get home to glory. You're just going to boast in Jesus, that's all. You're going to praise him and adore him because he's deserving of all the worship and all the praise, and we'll bow before him and we'll give him the credit for all the salvation, or the salvation that people have had through him, through his death on the cross. Glory be to God. Hallelujah for that. No boasting. And by the same token, you can't boast today of anything that you can do. Keep that in mind. The old Queen Elizabeth had a woman who attempted to assassinate her life. And the Queen saw this French woman before her. And she said this. She said, if I pardon you through grace, by grace, would you become my loyal subject? And the woman said, Your Majesty, then that's not grace at all. That's conditional grace. That is not grace. Then the Queen said, then I pardon you absolutely, with no strings attached. No condition. Unconditional pardon. And the woman fell at the Queen's feet, grabbed her feet, and she said, Your Majesty, I will be your servant forever. You see the difference? That's what God does. It's unconditional. God doesn't even say, trust me, and I will do this for you. All he's saying, I will give you my grace, my love, my salvation. You will be born again. You'll know what it is to be a new person. You'll be in my family. That's all you need. And yet he makes no requests of you. He doesn't ask you for anything. Because out of love, after you become a Christian, you want to give your life to him. You want to devote your time to him. You want to consecrate everything to him. You want to even give him your money. You want to become a missionary. But he's not going to force you to do any of those things. That is the unconditional grace of God. I pardon you, and I give you my grace. May you fall down at his feet like the French woman did to the Queen. I too will be your servant, your child forever. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You know, there was a study made, and I don't have time to go in all the analysis, but they said that so many people that are committing suicide today, there are so many people who are really ending their life, young people. It's really sad. Yes, even in our fair Bahamas, it's becoming a problem. Young people, listen, you don't have to do that. There is a way out. There is a better day if you just understand that there is forgiveness with God. Many of them are depressed, nowhere to turn, no purpose for living, no aim in sight. What's the use, they say? I have nothing to live for. Yes, you do. You have a lot to live for. Perhaps here in our community, this is not a problem as acute in many other areas of the world. But people are ending their life because of this depression. Philippians 4:23. The Apostle Paul, whenever he wrote his epistle, one of his earmarks was, by the grace of God, or the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Always his grace, 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 and nothing but his grace. But you know something? To enjoy his grace, you must recognize there is a problem. And that problem is sin. A lot of people don't want to admit sinnership. And I've said recently, the greatest sin of all is when you say you have no sin at all. Let me repeat that. The greatest sin of all is when you say, I have no sin of all. My good friend, Worth Alice, used to constantly tell me, Frank, I have trouble. Not as much getting people saved as much as getting them lost. I always wondered what he meant by, but after it sort of registered with me. People don't want to admit that they're lost. They don't want to admit that they're sinners. And that's where you must start. Recognize the fact that you're undone, lost before God. Then you can enjoy His grace and His love and His salvation. And you can really know the joy of it all. Sin is a hard task, Master. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will take you, not only take you further than you want to go, but it'll teach you more than you want to know. Young people, listen. It'll teach you more than you want to know. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. These are words that were uttered by a preacher that I heard not too long ago. Oh, my friend, the grace of God. It's an individual transformation. Paul said, I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. It was immediate. It didn't take a long time. It was instant for him. And he had that transformation in his life. Isn't it nice to know? I don't know the condition, how you came in the chapel. But I know one thing. You can go out a new person if you're not a Christian. You can be changed immediately. It's not a process. It doesn't take long. It's instant. It's an instant thing. And you can know the joy of it. Because the Word of God gives you that assurance. Paul said, these things write I unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. So you see, it's not a doubtful thing, a thing so, hope so, waiting maybe for some strange thing to happen. Some cataclysmic event to occur in life or the world. I don't know, a lot of people have this idea that they've got to wait for something like that before they're really moved to become a Christian. Not so, my friend. This is a time to bow the knee to the Christ of God and trust Him as your Redeemer. It was not only an individual transformation like John, Peter, James, Thomas, Nicodemus, Joseph, and so many others, but it was also an immediate change. It was individual, it was immediate, and it was indisputable. An indisputable transformation. No one could argue. Acts 9:21. It said, all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he which destroyed Christians that call on the name in Jerusalem? Can this be the same man? And wherever Paul went, one of his greatest sorrows in life was he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the least of all apostles because I killed Christians and I put them in prison. And I often wondered about Paul traveling down some street of some little town, or maybe in Jerusalem in particular. And he said, I know you. You put my daddy in prison. Another one would say, you had my father killed. I know you. What could Paul say as he heard these words coming from people? I have no doubt that he was told that on many occasions. He never forgot it all of his life as a Christian. He knew he was forgiven, but he could never forgive himself of that. I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. But it was indisputable because the change was apparent in his attitude toward the Savior. The Savior whom he hated and called blasphemous, now he is serving, worshiping, and telling people wherever he went, he is the true Messiah. It was an apparent change in the apostle's life. And we thank God for it. It says he wrote us some letters under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, which we have today. And we're very thankful for that. And he was also in his attitude toward not only the Savior, but his attitude toward Christians. He's no longer pursuing them. He's no longer putting them in prison. He's no longer looking for them to have them killed. Who once sought to purge Christianity from the earth. Because he certainly had a lot of authority and he had death warrants in his hands were to put them to death or put them in prison. But his attitude was changed. And his attitude was changed toward the saints. Isn't it amazing the love this man had for the Christians, for the child of God? In fact, the love he had for people, a genuine love, a love that was amazing. And they that were fearful learned immediately that he was a changed man, a changed man. And so in his attitude changed toward Christians, Acts 20:18, you see his love in action. You know what manner of person I've been with you or in your presence, serving the Lord with many years and heartbreak. Nothing that was profitable to you did I keep back. House to house I was teaching you. Neither counted I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy and to testify of the gospel of grace and the grace of God. For I am pure from the blood of all men. He was faithful in declaring the gospel of Christ. Pilate couldn't say that. He took a basin and he washed his hands, thinking that he would be pure from the blood of the Lord Jesus. But he couldn't wash away his stained conscience because he had the Lord Jesus crucified illegally. But Paul, he said, I'm pure from the blood of all men. He preached faithfully wherever he went. And we thank God for that. Verse 27 of that book, chapter in Ephesians that I've been quoting, he says, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Wolves will come in and not spare you. Troubles from within shall come, but be not afraid. God is with you. God is with you. Verse 31 said, therefore, watch. He says, for you remember, he said, I was with you 3 years, and I ceased not to warn you night and day with tears. He's the apostle that not only taught them, not only warned them, but a man who was really burdened for the people of God. And he wept over them, and he prayed for them. These hands have ministered unto you. He said, I won't see you anymore. This is my last time with you. And the believers in Ephesus were so burdened and so sorrowful. And as he prayed on that bank, he said, they fell on his neck and they wept. Most of all, because he said, I won't see you anymore. That was a man who loved the people of God, and the people of God loved him. He served the Lord well. I could relate a lot of other things that he said. But you know something? He had to have a change of attitude toward himself. And that is, he used to glory in his pedigree. He was of the stock of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. And he went on that long list that you find in Philippians. But he said, but all of this I count but garbage that I might win Christ and be found in him. Not having his own righteousness now. And he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and be made conformable unto his death. He had an attitude that was changed toward himself. Philippians 3, 5 and 8, he said, what things were gained to me? He had a lot going for him to a degree. He had authority, he had power, he had position, but all of this was nothing. But to be in Christ was far better. John Newton said it right in his song, Amazing Grace. Mr. Newton actually used to be in the slave trade. And then one day he was captured himself and he became a slave himself. And on board of a ship one day that was sinking, so he thought, it was taking in a lot of water and a lot of circumstances surrounding that. And Mr. Newton cried on the deck of that boat as he lifted his eyes heavenward. And he vowed God would save him. He would give him his life completely. And it was there on board that boat where his life was changed. And John Newton lived in sin. You read his book, his life story, and you will see that. Thus he wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He didn't pull any punches. He knew exactly what he was. He was lost, but he's found. He was sightless, spiritually speaking. Now he has sight and is a transformed man. It was a tremendous transformation of the grace of God. Then he said, not what I will be, not what I ought to be, not what I once was, but what I am now by the grace of God. I like that. I like that. And it's this grace, my friend, that we want you to share in tonight. Don't live in the cesspool of iniquity, the cesspool of distress. Don't live there. Oh, the world, teeming millions and millions of people have no life whatsoever. It's heartbreaking, really. And they know nothing else in life. That's the only thing they know. And consequently, many of them are lost. Millions die every year and without hope. Brought up under circumstances, no fault of their own, to a degree. Even though they have creation as a witness, they have the sun and the moon as a witness, the planetary heavens as a witness, Paul writing to the Romans, God never left him without a witness, so that man is without excuse. What about us here in Spanish Wells? I want to tell you, there isn't a person here in this island that can ever offer an excuse to God. No one. Literally impossible. God is bent over, backwards as it were, poured out his love, poured out his grace. And it's our prayer that you'll turn to the Lord. Maybe I'm speaking to someone and you've been enjoying your sin. I don't know. I'm not here to judge you. Reminds me of a vulture. You know what they are. It was feasting off a putrid carcass in the ice one day. And he began to eat and to eat and eat as he enjoyed himself with that particular meal. After he had finished and he had enough, he decided to soar away, but discovered that his talons were frozen in the ice, and the ice had held him there. He tried again and again and again, and he couldn't get loose from the frozen ice. And there he died, feasting on the putrid carcasses that day. You say, what a pitiful sight, what a pitiful thing that a bird like that should die. I think it's far more pitiful when men feast on the corrupt and immoral and filthy things of this life, and then only one day to realize that they're trapped and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but it's His grace that cancels out sin, that breaks the power of the sin. It's His grace that sets you free. Oh, come to the Savior, so that you too will be able to shout tonight, grace, grace, abounding grace. And you'll be able to say with Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. Oh, we sincerely trust your will. We trust your will. You have what we call indispensable grace. It's a needed grace. It's a grace that is sufficient, a grace that is adequate, much needed, indispensable means much needed, all right? You can't live without Him. You can't live without Him. You can't live without it. Matthew 18:3, except ye be converted, ye shall not enter the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke those words. They're strong words. You know, Mr. Longfellow could take a piece of paper and write a poem, which will perhaps be worth over $6,000 way back in his day. We call that genius. Mr. Rockefeller could sign his name to $1 million check, and we call that capital. He could do that. An artist can paint on a canvas, and it'd be worth $1 million. We call that art. But Jesus takes a sinner and transforms him. That's amazing grace. And no one else can do that. Capital can't do it. The artist can't put that on canvas. You can't even put it down effectively in poem, on poem, or in song, as much as we try. There are thousands of songs that are written about him. Yet it's still not adequate to describe our blessed Lord Jesus. Oh, my friend, we hope that you will not be in the crowd that will say one day, I wish I had. It'll be so terribly, terribly tragic that you have to utter those words in the coming day. If I only had. Just like the man who was told by his wife, dear, cover the cesspit in the backyard. It's got water in it. It's dangerous. Cover the cesspit. I'm going to do it. Don't worry. But it's dangerous, dear. Cover the cesspit. And one day, her little girl was missing. And it doesn't take long. And when she looked out, she was horrified to see that little form with her face down in that cesspit. It was obvious that she was drowned. And that man went off his mind and kept saying, oh, if I only had. Oh, if I only had. If I only had. If I only had covered the cesspit. My precious little girl, she's gone, she's gone, she's gone. That's a tragic story, true, but it's perhaps has been repeated many, many times. And people say, if I only had. What about you as an unconverted person tonight? If you stand before the judgment bar of God and you'll utter those same words, oh, if I only had, if I only had. God forbid, especially when you could come tonight and you can enjoy the grace of God and enjoy it abundantly and go out of here changed. Change, because His grace is adequate, His power is sufficient, His blood cleanses from all sins. Our prayer is that you'll do it. I never hear Brother Larry Price's testimony, but that I weep along with him with joy. He's a very sick man now, but Brother Larry, he can throw before you a life that will sort of shock you, the things that he was involved in the early days. And he said, I tell you the truth, Frank, I don't even know how many times I was in prison. I know I was, that is a lockup, the overnight lockup. He was in prison three distinct times, but many times an overnight deal, sort of. He said, I can't tell you how many. And his testimony is on our film, by the way, Overcoming Substance Abuse. And I hear every time I watch it, I weep. I can't help it. Brother Larry has been one of the most effective and powerful speakers that ever come our way. He's a young people's friend, but best of all, he's a friend of Jesus. And he's a tremendous servant of God. And if Larry was here tonight, you know what he would say? I am what I am by the grace of God. You too can be changed by the grace of God. We trust you'll come. Let's turn to our beautiful hymn. 292, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. It is a beautiful song. I never get tired of singing it, and we can sing it really with enthusiasm and in the spirit. And listen to the words, just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I trust you to even bow the head right now. One of the beauties of becoming a Christian is you don't have to go through any particular ritual. Right where you're seated, just a prayer, a sinner's prayer. Lord, I know I'm lost. I know you died for me, and I am coming to you tonight. I'm not letting this night go by. But if you want real joy, tell us about it. That's where you get your joy, all right? Let's really stand and sing this beautiful song then, 292. The first and the last verses only.